This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And this hour, we're going to talk everything about everything from color revolutions to do we have too many billionaires? Should there be more sharing to deflating your neighbor's basketballs? All that, so much more coming up on the Jesse Kelly Show this hour. Now, first, I wanted to get to this because there's a question. This guy said, Shadow. That's one of my nicknames, by the way. It's because I'm covert. What is a color revolution, and are we seeing one now? Well, a color revolution is a lie. Let me explain. The general idea behind a color revolution is this. It's always defined as being, quote, nonviolent, and we'll get to that part in a moment. That's the part that's always a lie, but it's always defined as being nonviolent. And the reason they call them color revolutions is oftentimes there is a color associated with the cause. Yeah, it's the orange revolution. There's been one of those before. The tulip revolution, the red revolution. They will pick a color and they'll associate that with the cause. Now, I need to explain that aspect of it because it's going to help you understand what you're seeing with the communists, with Democrats today in the United States of America. Sometimes I'm sure the Democrat, the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life, that you've had a debate with her, that you've had an argument with her about politics. And during that argument, it doesn't take you long to figure out that she either doesn't know any specifics or won't discuss any specifics. Everything is just general terms. Hey, I hate Trump. Okay, can you tell me exactly why? And that's a simple question. Can you tell me why? He's a Nazi. Could you get more specific than that? What is it that you don't like? And then maybe the best you can do is she'll rattle off a couple things that are completely not true at all. I mean, just outright lies. Well, he said you should inject yourself with bleach. What? He said Nazis were very fine people. What? She's got two or three bullet points. None of them are true, but no depth. You are there. You think you're going to reason with her, the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life. You think you're just going to reason with, well, let's use facts, logic, let's use an argument. But she almost doesn't seem interested in that at all. In fact, she doesn't seem like she's even capable of that. Well, she's not, because you know what sells to people. To people, especially who are herd animals, dumb people, really, really buy into this. Lower IQ people, people who lack confidence. Chris, I wasn't being mean. I meant just naturally stupid. That's not being mean. Some people are stupid. You can't do anything about that. Look at you. That was a joke. Gosh. Anyway, you know what sells to those people is simplicity. Simplicity sells. Simplicity, you probably has. I'm calling people stupid and I can't speak. You probably have disdain for it. You want more details. Now tell me what? Tell me why. Explain it to me. Simplicity sells to dumb people, low confidence people. It always has. It always will. So we're having a No Kings protest. Everybody wear yellow. That's what it was. Wear yellow. Why? That's dumb. Why do we all have to wear this? It's very simple. I'm going to show that I am part of this herd. I'm going to show that I am a good person by putting on my yellow shirt and my yellow hat. It's very simple. This is not unique to America. Again, you can go look up color revolutions that have taken place several times throughout history. That's oftentimes they associate a color with it. Now, let's talk about the other part. This is why a color revolution itself is kind of a lie. Color revolutions are sold. If you look up the definition of them, they're always talking about nonviolent. It's characterized as being nonviolent. It's nonviolent. It's a nonviolent revolution. That's not true at all. They simply redefine violence. For instance, let's make it about here. The Trump administration, they are trying to arrest and deport all the rapists and murderers Democrats brought into this country on purpose. Democrats brought them into the country on purpose. Then these violent criminals tend to congregate in the Democrat-run areas where they can be provided for and protected. So you're going into Chicago, you're going into LA, you're arresting rapists. Communists don't want you to do that. What is one of the main tactics you've seen? You've seen it over and over again the past 2 to 3 weeks. They will gather in large numbers in front of an ICE facility, and they'll just stand in the road so the vehicle can't drive by. Look at me. I'm being nonviolent. I'm not violent. I'm not. It's the childhood version of, or the adult version of that thing you used to do as a kid when you were annoying. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. My finger's only an inch from your face. I'm not touching you. That's what they do. And they do this in various ways across society, and they do this so they can claim they're peaceful and nonviolent. So when you see legions of these savages march into a congressman's office, and they'll go, quote, occupy the lobby. They'll just go sit on the couches and sit on the desks. They're not hitting anybody. They're not looting anything. They're just here to protest. I mean, whatever weird crap. But well, save the polar bears or whatever stupid thing these hippies are protesting nowadays. And they always like to try to classify themselves as being nonviolent. Of course, it's the furthest thing in the world from being nonviolent. If I am an ICE agent and I just grab a multi-time sex offender and I'm trying to get him off the streets so he cannot rape your daughter, and you are stopping me from bringing him to custody, you are committing an act of violence. You are committing an act of violence. But they call them color revolutions, trying to manipulate this and manipulate that, and trying to always manipulate public opinion, trying to get the masses on their side. Communists do so much of what they do to get the masses on their side. And even if they can't get everyone, which they know they won't, they're trying to just bring in as many people as humanly possible. It's why they tell huge lies all the time. Big, gigantic, obvious lies. They're not worried about the fact that it's wrong.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
They're not worried about that. They're selling the revolution. All right? All right. Jesse, we have 900 people who are billionaires. With that said, when you look at history and people are struggling, you get revolution. I come at you as a conservative. Okay? So he's saying, I mean, you know what he's saying. You can read between the lines. He didn't lay it all out specifically, but people are struggling. Maybe you right now are struggling. Maybe you're not making it. And we always like to talk about people barely making it, barely keeping their heads above water. I've had points of time in my life where I wasn't barely making it. I wasn't making it. You ever sat down and decided which bills you're going to pay or not pay? I've done that. Doesn't feel good. Not making it. That's not making it. All right. And we have more and more of those people in the country not making it. With inflation being what it is, the jobs market being what it is, interest rates being what they are, people aren't making it. And when people aren't making it, when you look at people who are making it, or maybe are swimming in it, it is the most natural thing in the world. It's human nature to look at them and think, that's not fair. That's not fair. that tech guy. He runs Facebook. He's on his private jet. He put it up on his Instagram page. I'm on my way to my second job after spending 15 minutes to eat dinner and see my family just so we can pay our mortgage this month. And that guy's on his private jet eating steak and mac and cheese. That's not fair. What are you shaking your head at, Chris? What do you mean he's not eating mac and cheese with his steak? Everybody eats mac and cheese with their steak. It's the greatest side in the world. It's the greatest side in the world. You sound just like Ob. Ob pitches a fit when I make some Kraft Mac whenever we make steaks at the house. Kraft steaks and mac and cheese go together like peanut butter and jelly. Are you not allowed to eat it? Is this a jealousy thing? You're not allowed to eat it, isn't it? This is a religious jealousy, Chris. I'm being religiously persecuted on the show by Jewish producer Chris. I knew it. All right, anyway, we will discuss this in a little bit more detail. What all these billionaires, people aren't making it. What's happening? I'll explain it. Before we talk about that, let's talk about you feeling good. You know, one of the ways your life can improve, your entire life, your personal life, your professional life, one of the ways it can improve is with natural herbal supplements from Chalk. I don't take Chalk because I enjoy making it part of my breakfast routine every day. You know what I take? I've told you about it many times. I take a male vitality stack. That's what I take. It's three different things from Chalk. Tonkat and ashwagandha and their daily vitamin. It's three different things. Well, it's not just because I enjoy it. Man, I feel good all the time. I'm always ready to move, wanting to move, not wanting to sit out, put my feet up. I'm tired. My mind works better. That's what Chalk can do for you, whether you're a man, woman, young, old, naturally. Stop sticking needles in your arm. C-H-O-Q. Chalk.com/Jesse. Chalk.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday as we cruise into the weekend. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So let's get back to the email. Guy says he's a conservative. He says we have 900 billionaires and people aren't making it. People are struggling. And you get a revolution when that happens. And so we're going to talk about this. Now, Josh Hawley, senator from Missouri, I'm hot and cold on Hawley. Sometimes he says things I really like. Sometimes he says things that are really freaking stupid. But this is one of those really stupid times he said something. It's really dumb. It was an awful stupid thing to say. Awful stupid thing to think. But I understand it. Here's what he said.
Their CEO is getting paid. Let me make sure.
He's talking about Amazon.
Their CEO is getting paid. Let me make sure I get this right. In 2024, Amazon's president earned $40.1 million in total compensation. 40.1. The previous year, he'd earned merely 29.2. I mean, that's an unbelievable. That's great work if you can get it. That's an unbelievable raise. Only problem is, according to their own financial disclosures, Amazon's average worker, average employee worldwide is making $37,181.
Okay. So, remember what determines your income, kids. Remember what determines it. It's not your popularity, not even how hard you work, although that you want to work hard, it's going to help you. The scarcity of your marketable skills, that is what will determine what you get paid. Why do professional quarterbacks make more than firemen? Firemen are more important. No question firemen are more important. Braver, too. You know how many people can throw the ball for 300 yards and three touchdowns in one game? There ain't many of them. And it's marketable, so those guys make $40 million a year and firemen don't. Now, setting that aside, you're going to hear more and more of this kind of talk. And you're going to hear this kind of talk because underneath all the good things that are happening, and there are good things happening, we are watching, you're living it. Maybe you are in the middle of it. The slow, steady destruction of the middle class in the United States of America. People are being not lifted up, although there are some. Maybe that's you. I hope I'm rooting for you. but people are being pushed down into poverty because of the devaluation of the currency. When you have a 20-25% devaluation in currency, that means everybody is 25% poorer. And so you might have been middle class, breaking into the middle class, on the cusp of owning a home, buying a car that doesn't break down, whatever you were looking to do. Now that your money isn't going as far, you're not that. Frankly, you probably qualify for SNAP. Now, when that's happening, when people are not making it, when they're barely treading water or not treading water at all, there is inevitably going to be an appetite for taking from the rich, especially at a time where we are right now, when the wealthy, I forget the number, we talked about it on the show, I think it's 80%, when the wealthy are making up 70 to 80% of consumer spending. So they'll put out these huge charts and graphs and say the economy's good, consumer spending is the same. No. Consumer spending is not the same because rich people are buying more plane tickets, more meals, more dresses or whatever people buy. Rich people are doing more consumer spending. There's no question about it. Tossing money here and tossing money there. But normal people are not able to do any of it. And here is what cannot be stopped. I will never embrace wealth envy. I don't do it. I do not do it. I don't believe in it at all. But here's what cannot be stopped. If you are at a time in your country, no matter what the country is, when people, the majority of people are getting poorer, there will be a market, a large political market for this kind of commie gobbledygook.
Their CEO is getting paid, let me make sure I get this right, in 2024, Amazon's president earned $40.1 million in total compensation. 40.1. The previous year, he'd earned merely 29.2. I mean, that's an unbelievable. That's great work if you can get it. That's an unbelievable raise. Only problem is, according to their own financial disclosures, Amazon's average worker, average employee worldwide is making $37,181.
Yeah, CEO's worth more. Financially, not as a human being, he's worth more. There aren't a lot of people who can do the job of CEO of a major corporation. There just aren't a lot of them. It's not that there's anything wrong with factory work, assembling things, running a forklift, which I've done before myself. Nothing wrong with it. In fact, you can make a nice living, but a lot of people could do it. So you get paid less. It's not a scarce skill. There's no scarcity there, but none of that matters. What does matter is going forward, not just in Democrat circles, in some Republican circles, that kind of messaging is going to become more prevalent as people aren't making it. Hey, why do they have so much? You should have that. You deserve that. He shouldn't make that. That belongs to you. When you have poorer people, the political messaging in any society is going to be aimed towards them. Inevitably. It's just the way it works. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about everything from deflating basketballs to civil war. First, let's talk about Legacy Box. What will last? What truly lasts? That gift you got for Christmas last year, those slippers, they're not going to last. Probably already have holes in them. That new video game system, it's not going to last. It's going to break. But the memories you have with your family, if you preserve them, will. And they are precious, precious memories. You know what I did on October 14th, anniversary of my father's death? When I got done with the show, I wouldn't do it before the show because it would have messed me up. I went home, sat by myself, opened up my phone, and went through pictures and videos of my father that I have because of Legacy Box. Legacy Box digitizes your home movies. They digitize your hard copy pictures. They digitize the memories so you have them forever. They'll be on the cloud. They'll be in a zip drive. Don't let these memories fade with sun and time, flood and fire. Keep them. They're everything. They're so much more important than that new DVD player. Sorry, I aged myself. Those don't exist anymore. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Friday on Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show at all, you can download it on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So I do have to tell you. I told you last night that I did the Megyn Kelly live show with her here in the Houston area. It was awesome. Megan's cool. It was just awesome. It was a fun event. If you came out, hope you had a good time. I had a good time. If you're a new listener, sorry, we screw off a lot on this show. It can be heavy at times.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
But I feel like maybe afterwards I maybe have made some mistakes, or at least a mistake. I told you we had this little private thing afterwards. It was me and Ob, Megan and her husband, Don Jr. and his lady. We're at this place. And they have this little private room, and they have this big meat and cheese display. And it's big. You can't believe how many meats were on this thing, Chris. I only recognized like two or three of them. There was prosciutto. There was salami. There was salami. And there was those thick-looking pepperoni things, but it's not pepperoni. They're super dark red. I don't know, whatever. There are enough Italians who listen. Whatever. There's a bunch of all kinds of meats. And there was some fruit, no need for that. And there were crackers and then all kinds of cheeses. And I was hungry. And so I started to pick away at it during the conversation. Only it wasn't right by where we were talking. It was 5 feet away. So I would turn around and step away and grab a cracker, throw some meat on it, throw some cheese on it. And I was trying to be polite. I didn't want crumbs everywhere. So I would just throw the entire thing in my mouth. Why do you have to make that face, Chris? I already feel bad enough. I would throw the entire thing in my mouth. But it was too much. You couldn't turn around and start talking. So I kind of had to stand there over the thing, chawing away at this. And then I would turn back around as it kind of broke down enough. What, Chris? I don't know why you think I need that. That's a little rude. Chris just asked if I buy you an etiquette course, would you go? I don't understand what I'm supposed to do. Was I supposed to not eat? They put it there so you can eat. I'm starving. We were there. It wasn't mid-conversation. I waited till other people were talking before I left. So that doesn't count. Jesse, I've got neighbors I'm great friends with, but I'm a Buckeye and they're Michigan fans. Ew. They recently got a Michigan logoed basketball they leave in the driveway. Taking inspiration from your history lesson about East Germans and bike tires, around once a month I completely deflate the basketball. Enjoying my Saturday morning coffee and seeing them with hands on their hips and puzzled looks, wondering where in life they went wrong, brings me joy. How often can I do this before I'm out of line? No, I think once a month is solid. I think once a month is solid, but let me tell you something. Whenever Ohio State is gearing up to play Michigan this year in football, it needs to be every day. Every single day. That is the kind of joy that most people can't understand. Jesse, I've heard some folks calling the Democrats insurrection called a civil war. But all I see in these demonstrations is white people with funny colored hair. So the Civil War will be white on white? Let me tell you something. I know we have a lot of problems. I don't know that we're going to have a civil war one day. Now, we could. And a lot of the ingredients that were there. Remember, what we know about our civil... Let's talk about the Civil War we had. Because this is very similar to other civil wars that have taken place. There's nothing worse than a civil war. It's the last thing in the world you should ever root for. They're just horrible. But during our civil war, most people know the high points, Gettysburg and things like that. You know the high points. You know when the armies started clashing with each other, Fort Sumter. You know all that. But what a lot of people don't think about is all the years leading up to it. This is going to be the dark part of what we're going to say. So I'm going to warn you. I'll bring you back up in a moment. But in the years leading up to it, Americans in individual states, Americans were slowly but surely seeing each other as the enemy. And their political side kept telling them, that's the enemy, that's the enemy, that's the enemy, that's the enemy. When enough Americans got convinced of that, that turned into individual small acts of violence. Have you ever heard of things like Bleeding Kansas? That's one of those things a lot of people will have heard. But that's one example of something that took place in various places across the country. The Civil War didn't start with Fort Sumter. The Civil War started years and years and years beforehand when individual Americans decided that their fellow Americans, who they had big disagreements with, were worthy of being murdered. Now, does that sound familiar to what we're dealing with the communists right now? How many times have we talked about the numbers, the poll numbers, the percentages of Democrats, especially young Democrats in this country, who feel like violence is justified? We're fighting Nazis. We're fighting evil. Violence is justified. Someone has to hurt them. Someone has to kill them. I hope someone does. How many montages have I played for you of Democrats at these rallies? I hope Donald Trump dies. The governor of Minnesota gets up at a rally and talks about how we were all hoping that, well, that's essentially what he said, that Trump was dead. We were all hoping for some news. And he was talking about this fake news that Donald Trump had died, which was not whatnot. What is that doing? It's not creating a civil war yet. We're not at each other's throats in that way yet. But what we are definitely doing is increasing the percentage of Americans who believe that violence is a solution. That violence, that people on the right, they deserve to be killed. They deserve to be hurt. You will change your ways or you get what's coming to you. Let's be honest. After Charlie Kirk was assassinated, it wasn't only people saying he deserved it, I'm glad he's dead, but you saw in mainstream circles, professional politicians, people in the media, mainstream circles, how many people did we play for you on this show who said something along the lines of, well, he was divisive. Oh, man, I think it's really sad. I think it's terrible. I hate political violence, but he was divisive. I mean, he was divisive. What are you saying? You're saying he had it coming. I'm a good person. I don't like violence. I think it's really sad. I wish this hadn't have happened, but he was divisive. That's what you're saying. And what I've tried to explain, I know this gets dark, but I told you there was going to be an assassination months and months and months before there was one. And I told you after that, that there would be more and there will be more. And I don't know who it will be. There will be more. And you know this because the rhetoric from the left hasn't changed one bit. They didn't change it after Steve Scalise got gunned down. They didn't change it after Donald Trump got shot in the head. They didn't change it after Charlie Kirk was murdered in broad daylight before our eyes. They didn't back down. They didn't slow down. They didn't back off at all. It was Nazi, 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 Nazi. Ah! And what that's doing is increasing the percentage of Americans who believe violence is a solution. And that can lead to civil war if the right circumstances are there. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is, well, I'll give you good news in a moment. Let me read this really quickly. Jesse, I've been a robe guy since high school when my mom got me a fuzzy robe so I wouldn't walk around the house in my boxers anymore. Since then, I've tried a few robe outfits. In the robe, I wear an undershirt, pajama pants, and slippers, but the summer, it's just boxers and a robe. What is your preferred robe attire? Do you have a preferred robe fabric? His name is Marcus. The only robe I own is the only robe I need, my friend. It's the Cozy Earth robe. I have no need or desire for a different robe because my Cozy Earth robe just holds me.
when I'm giving you a warning right now. When you start buying things from Cozy Earth, whether it's their heavenly bamboo sheets with a 10-year warranty, I might add, their robes, their facial creams, ladies, their pajamas. Ob wears Cozy Earth pajamas every single night. They are absurdly comfortable, breathable. When you start with Cozy Earth, it's like a drug. I'm worried they're gonna ban it. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse saves you 20%. Go try one thing. You'll be back every day. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, churning and burning through an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. All kinds of great things happening out there right now. Let me finish up my thought before we move on and do other things on the show. We were talking about, you know, Civil War and worries about that, and I kind of went into how part of what we're seeing right now with the communists viewing us as being killable, people who should be hurt for our beliefs, part of that is similar to the lead up to the Civil War last time. But there is a huge, huge difference, and it is probably the difference. It's a regional thing. And here's what I mean. The country was divided back then regionally, extremely regionally, in ways that were easy to lay out on a map. Remember, part of the hubbub back then was America was expanding. We were not 50 states yet. We were moving west. We were adding states. You had all these people in the North who hated slavery, wanted slavery abolished, and they wanted all the new states, no slavery. You had all these people in the South. Slavery was viewed as woven into their economy. They viewed as any elimination of slaves or slavery as being something that would cripple them, destroy them. And so they didn't want any of this. You can't add states and ban slaves in it because then we'll be outnumbered, outvoted. But the issues itself are not necessarily important for the purpose of our conversation. The purpose of our conversation is it was easily divided by a line. North of this line, that they feel this way. South of this line, they feel this way. What I've discussed with you before, and honestly, it's something that I've never found a historical example of, is this. Our dividing lines in America are completely blurred because even, quote, blue states aren't really blue. There are hostile communist blue city states inside of these states. But the best example of this, although it applies to everywhere, honestly, it applies to really every state in the country. Go look at a congressional map. You want to see a fascinating one? Of Illinois. Go look at Illinois. You think of Illinois as a solidly blue state. And I guess electorally, you're right. You know, the governor is always going to be a Democrat. I guess they're right. Go look at a congressional map of Illinois or a precinct map of Illinois where people vote. Illinois is blood red. Blood red. It's farm country. Wonderful people. Then there's Chicago. It's a little sliver. California's the same way. Oh, California. Bunch of communists in California. No. That's LA. San Diego. Sacramento. The coastal urban hellholes. That's where that is. Actually, it's probably not fair to call San Diego a hellhole or L.A., but they're turning it into one. Anyway, it's the urban commie centers, but outside of that, red. We are not neatly divided east, west, north, south. We have hostile, frankly, I call them now foreign, communist city-states in our midst. We have this in Texas. This doesn't just apply to blue states. We have this in Texas. Yes, Texas overall is red. There's no question about that. But Austin, Texas is as blue as any city in the United States of America. That includes San Francisco, Seattle, Chicago. As blue as any city in America is Austin. Austin, there's no law, no communist law they would not pass in that place. None. It's a different situation here, which makes something like an actual civil war
impossible. Now, you know what is possible? You finding a good employee. It is possible. It feels impossible because you've been taking ads out in the paper and you've been asking your friends and you've put a help wanted sign in the door and all you're getting are dirt balls and turds. Half of them don't even show up for the interview. If by chance you happen to hire somebody, they're flaking out on you in the first week. I know. I hear it all. This is why ZipRecruiter is number one. ZipRecruiter is here to eliminate that. They are here to make your life easier. They are here to get you that choice employee fast, whether you're looking for someone seasonal, got the holidays coming up, whether you're looking for some permanent person who's going to help you grow to the next level, ZipRecruiter's there. Their matching technology, it dives deep into all the talent that's already on their website, and they practically spoon-feed it to you immediately. You want a cheat code for hiring? ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Dear Princess Band-Aids, it's mean. I'm listening to the Bible all the way through for the first time in my life. I'm doing it while I work running a bulldozer. Turns out you are, quote, clean, quote, if he has lost his hair from the front of his scalp and he has a bald forehead, he is clean. You know, that's not very nice. And I don't need you chiming in with him, Chris, and agreeing with him. That's not very nice. You know what I thought about? I saw this helmet. I saw an advertisement online. There was this helmet. And I don't know what they did, but the helmet had all these red lights inside of it. Almost looked like a baseball helmet. You've seen it, Chris? Almost looked like a baseball helmet. And I'm sure it's some stupid gimmicky thing that doesn't work at all. But I had a moment. I had a moment where I saw it and I thought, I should check the price. I didn't. I moved on because I didn't want to give in to temptation. What, Chris? Chris said, isn't it nice not having to worry about it? It is. It's fantastic. I'm not complaining. I'm okay with being bald. I knew this was always coming for me. I'm a Kelly. This is how it goes for the Kellys. You're not going to keep your hair. My sons are having a good time at my expense. Dad, you're so bald now. And I've already told them, you know what? Enjoy it, son. You got 20 years left. Enjoy that little mop of hippie hair on your head now because it's going away. Anyway, I enjoy being bald. Here's the thing. I think every guy, once you reach a certain age, even if you don't pine for the old days, which everyone knows I don't, I enjoy where I am now. Even if you don't pine for the old days, you wonder every now and then. You wonder. I've had this way of thinking before. Not that I was any good at basketball, but I played for years. And I have dunked a basketball before in the past. I'm 6'8". I can't jump, but I'm 6'8". So that gets you most of the way there. I've had this thinking before. In fact, every time I'm by a basketball court, I think to myself, could I? Could I still? It's perfectly natural. And when I'm looking at this bad helmet of hair growth thingy, I know that it's going to be some horrible ripoff. It's probably made in China that's like designed to melt your mind and steal your data or something like that, like everything else in China. So I know it won't work. But part of me thinks to myself, what if I started wearing this baseball helmet of hair growth? And what if I just end up with some thick mop of hair on my head? I don't know why you're rolling your eyes, Chris. You know this is going to come for you one day. Do you have baldness in your family? You do? I'm so happy. You have any idea how ruthless I'm going to be when your hair starts falling out on the show? I'm going to give daily updates. What are you shaking your head for? Are you going transplant? You're going to go totally shaved? Dang it, I kind of respect that. All right, we have another hour. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.